Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Raw and our special presentation of Stay Your Ass Home Theater. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, as we celebrate Halloween. Yeah, I know it ain't here yet, but we do shit differently. All month, we're going to translate in as many ways possible as we do with our music, movies, and other translations of Halloween. I just recently found out that a baby hobgoblin is called a sausage. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, sausage. Changes the breakfast menu significantly, doesn't it? Anyway, as we're talking about Halloween, we're talking about suspense, horror, all the other subgenres, all that good stuff. One of our favorite people is Vincent Price. How can you not like Vincent Price? He always delivers the goods, and it doesn't matter whether the role is straight dramatic or campy, he gives us all, whether it was the old Batman episodes, whether it was serious dramatic stuff like with Laura back in the 1940s, or even in the Muppet Show. Vince always gives you the goods and gives a great performance. Let me take some time and give you a little bit of some of this best shit. Stay tuned as we do what we do always. We give you a thrill of a time as this brother went out of his way to take upon himself to ingratiate herself on our conscience and pop culture.
The ghosts are moving tonight, restless, hungry. May I introduce myself? I'm Watson Pritchard. In just a minute, I'll show you the only really haunted house in the world. Since it was built a century ago, 7 people, including my brother, have been murdered in it. Since then, I've owned the house. I've only spent one night there, and when they found me in the morning, I was almost dead.
I'm Frederick Lauren, and I've rented the house on Haunted Hill tonight so that my wife can give a party. A haunted house party. She's so amusing. There'll be food and drink and ghosts. And perhaps even a few murders. You're all invited. If any of you would spend the next 12 hours in this house, I'll give you each $10,000 or your next of kin in case you don't survive. Ah, but here come our other guests. It was my wife's idea to have our guest come in the funeral car. She's so amusing. Her sense of humor is, shall we say, original. I dreamed of her. It's empty now, but after a night in the house on Haunted Hill, who knows? This is Lance Schroeder, a test pilot. So no doubt a brave man. But don't you think you can be much braver if you're paid for it? And I happen to know that Lance needs the $10,000 I'll give him. If he's brave enough to stay all night. This is Ruth Bridges. You've no doubt read her column in the newspapers. She says her reason for coming to the party is to write a feature article on ghosts. She's also desperate for money. Gambles. You've already met Watson Pritchard, a man living in mortal fear of a house, and yet he is risking his life to spend another night here. I wonder why. He says for money. This is Dr. David Trent, a psychiatrist. He claims that my ghost will help his work on hysteria. But don't you see a little touch of greed there? Around the mouth's eye. This is Nora Manning. I picked her from the thousands of people who worked for me because she needed the 10,000 more than most. Supports her whole family. Isn't she pretty? The party's starting now, and you have until midnight to find the house on Haunted Hill.
You're glad we're here.
Are we all strangers to each other? Don't you two know each other?
I'm afraid I don't even know your name.
I'm Nora Manning.
Lance Schroeder.
It's Frederick Warren, a friend of yours.
I've heard of him, but I've never met him.
I work for one of his companies, but I've never seen him.
I've never met the man either. Just a phone call. Do you know him?
No.
Well, then you're the only one of us who does.
I don't know him. All the details about renting the house were done by mail.
He's quite wealthy, isn't he?
Millions.
And five wives, I believe.
Four, I think, so far.
The $50,000 party for only five people is a little steep, even for a millionaire. Well, if I were going to haunt anybody, this would certainly be the house I'd do it in.
Who closed the door?
This thing's made of solid steel. Annabelle. I Mark Esper here, unfortunately still alive. Is your face on yet?
Dust and dirt everywhere, and the water barely trickles. Couldn't you have had the place clean?
That's the truth, darling. You know how ghosts are. They never tidy up. And that's a very fetching outfit, but hardly suitable for a party.
I'm not going to party.
Well, this spend-the-night ghost party was your idea, Rebecca. Since it's going to cost me $50,000, I want you to have fun.
The party was my idea until you invited all the guests. Why all these strangers? Why none of our friends?
Friends? Do we have any friends?
No, your jealousy could carry that.
I had a reason for inviting each guest. I wanted kind of a cross-section. From psychiatrist to typist, and from drunk to jet pilot. They share one thing. They all need money. Now let's see if they're brave enough to earn it.
Would you call this a party?
Could be.
Why do you always do that? It spoils the champagne.
It might explode.
Never does.
Would you guarantee that?
That isn't funny, Frederick.
Make a good headline. Playboy kills wife with champagne cork. Will you join me?
Well, thank you.
Just a tip might improve your humor.
My humor is fine, thanks. And I haven't poisoned it.
It's always good to know that. Have some. You'll enjoy the party more. Go on.
Your trust is so touching, and I'm not going to party.
Of all my wives, you're the least agreeable.
But still alive.
Would you go away for $1 million, tax-free? You want it all, don't you?
I deserve it all. If jealousy isn't tax-free, then your possessing it is maddening.
If ever a man had grounds for divorce.
That can't prove them.
The time will come. You'll slip up one of these days.
Think so?
If I live long enough. You remember the fun we had when you poisoned me?
Something you ate, the doctor said.
Yes. Arsenic on the rocks. Annabelle, you'd do it again if you thought you could get away with it, wouldn't you?
Darling, what makes you think that?
Something about you. I hear that hanging is very uncomfortable, in case you get any more ideas. And don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Darling, the only ghoul in the house is you.
And don't sit up all night thinking of ways to get rid of me. It makes wrinkles.
This is what she used on my brother and her sister. Hacked them to pieces. We found parts of the bodies all over the house, in places you wouldn't think. The funny thing is, the heads have never been found. Hands and feet and things like that. But no heads.
The wife, probably in a rage, threatened her husband with a knife, and then, carried away by hysteria, took a swing at him, and things went on from there.
She certainly went on. How many people did she kill, Mr. Pritchard?
Only two. Her husband and her sister. No one else was here.
So there are two loose heads just floating around in here somewhere?
You can hear them at night. They whisper to each other. And then cry.
Since our host isn't here, would anyone care to mix me a drink?
Certainly. What will you have? Good evening. I'm your host, Frederick Lawrence. Since we're all strangers to each other, let's get acquainted with the drink, shall we?
Mr. Lawrence, I advise you to call this party off now. The ghosts are already moving, and that's a bad sign.
Let me apologize for my wife. She'll join us later.
What's that?
Goddamn.
Sucker.
I have the same.
Now, before the party begins, let's go over the details. The caretakers will leave at midnight, locking us in here until they come back in the morning. But once the door is locked, there's no way out. The windows have bars that a jail would be proud of, and the only door to the outside locks like a vault. There's no electricity, no phone, no one within miles, so no way to call for help. Like a coffin. So, if any of you decide not to stay for the party, you must let me know before midnight. Of course, if you leave, I shan't be able to pay you anything. I'm interested in your reasons for this, party. Aside from pleasant company. Ghosts, Doctor. I think everyone wonders what they would do if they saw a ghost. And now my wife has given us all the opportunity to find out. Amusing. Ghosts, etc., being only creations of hysteria, your party should be a success. Well, Pritchard here promises us genuine ghosts. 7 now. Maybe more before morning. That's cheerful. 4 men have been murdered in this house. And 3 women. You planned your party very well, Mr. Lawrence. 4 of us are men, 3 are women. Well, it goes for everybody. So, Richard, why don't you take us on a tour through the house and let's see what happens.
See that stain? Blood. A young girl was killed here. And whatever got her wasn't human.
Don't stand there.
What do you mean?
Where?
It's too late. They've marked you.
Ridiculous. The roof probably leaked.
Oh, that must be what it is. Who would want to haunt me?
I would say any self-respecting male ghost.
I hope it doesn't come back.
Well, Mr. Pritchard, you're the life of the party. Well, he hasn't even started yet. Wasn't there a man who threw his wife into a wine vat or something?
That was in the cellar. There's been a murder almost every place in this house. All this belongs to a Mr. Norton, who didn't die here. He was electrocuted later.
Mr. Norton, he did a good deal of experimenting with wine. But his wife didn't think it was any good.
So he filled a bath with acid, threw her in. She was supposed to stay down. But the bones came up. It's a funny thing. None of the murders here were just ordinary. Just shooting. Stabbing. They've all been sort of wild. Violent. God, she didn't fall in.
You mean you're still out in here?
Destroys everything with hair and flesh. Just leaves the bone. My, it's dry and dusty down here.
Well, there's a cure for that upstairs. Come on. How'd you get invited to this party? Oh, go on. I mean, what did he tell you?
Mr. Lawrence said everybody would get $10,000.
But he didn't say anything about being locked in.
No.
He just made a deal with me on the phone, but nothing about having to stay.
Aren't you going to stay?
If I don't, I lose $10,000.
I'm going to stay, too. $10,000.
Yeah. You believe in ghosts?
I don't know.
Well, I agree with what that doc said. You can spook yourself. I've done it in plain. See things that weren't really there. Or were they? What are you going to do with your $10,000? If we get it.
What do you mean, if we get it? Won't he pay us if we stay?
Ah, sure he will. $10,000 is no more to him than a nickel is to us.
We were in an automobile accident. Now I'm the only one in the family who can make any money.
Boy, I've never seen so many doors. Closet.
Does it go anywhere?
Why they didn't kill him. Who? He didn't love him. Maybe
Nora, when you came in, you said something about a ghost.
There was something.
What did it look like?
Well, it was wearing a black thing that went all the way to the floor.
Weren't you a little frightened at that?
Yes.
That, Mr. Lawrence, is hysteria. But then, Doctor, how do you explain what happened to Max? Was that hysteria too? We're going to get that shape in the day, sir. Thanks, sir. The ghosts are coming closer, Mr. Long. You really believe in your pet ghost, don't you, Christian? Before the night's over, you will, too. Would you like a drink, Glenn? No, thanks.
I'd like one. Got to him. Mr. Lauren, are you really going to pay me when you stay all night?
Certainly. $10,000.
Would it be like red tape or delay?
In a hurry, dear?
Frankly, yes. Frankly.
There you are, madam. Someone or something was in here when I came in. But where? And the door was locked. How did it get out? Would you sound like a ghost, Nora? What's in here with me? There's no ghost.
I don't know. I was so scared.
Sound different to you?
Yes.
3, 6, 9, 12. 12 feet.
Why did you come here? He said he'd give me $10,000. Why did he pick you? I don't know. My supervisor just came and said I didn't buy it. Hello. His name, huh? Are you? What were you doing wandering around by yourself? Well, I was in the cellar at night. Mr. Sherman. I just left, I thought.
Don't do it again. Don't go anywhere in this house by yourself.
The traffic today is not come by for you in a few minutes.
You're in danger.
We all are. I hope for your sake you never find her. I'm Annabelle Lauren. Are you looking for something?
Not exactly.
Are you the doctor?
No, I'm not sure.
The pilot. You've hurt yourself.
Oh, it's just a bump on the head. Which is my room?
I believe this is it.
Thank you, Mrs. Lauren.
Annabelle Lauren. You were with the young girl in the cellar. Why was she so upset?
Was she?
And you don't look like the type to go around bumping your face. What really happened, Dad?
Well, Nora thought she saw a ghost, but I didn't see anything.
She was just frightened.
And mad at me, I think. I kidded her about it.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
Now, don't tell me you're taking all this seriously.
Aren't you?
Well, I'd like to find out what hit me.
Lance. If I need help, may I count on you?
Sure, I guess so. Look, what's going on here anyway? I mean, what is with this party?
This is no party. He's planning something.
Your husband?
I wish I knew what it was.
Must be pretty big if he's going to lay out 50 pounds.
Money doesn't need anything. He has a reason for getting us all up here to this dreadful old house.
Well, what for? He doesn't even know us.
Maybe that's exactly why you're here.
Well, what can he get away with?
Oh, he thinks that big money like his can get away with anything. You know, of course, that I'm his fourth wife. The first simply disappeared. The other two died. Lance, I don't want to join him.
You mean he is...
Oh, his doctors said they died of heart attacks. Two girls in their 20s.
Well, what can he do?
My husband is sometimes insane with jealousy. Nothing matters to him. Please be careful.
Will he hurt you?
He would kill me if he could.
Annabelle, you're missing all the fun. Nora Manning was almost killed by a falling chandelier. The pilot bashed his head.
Did you bat her?
The Saturday night psychiatrist bandaged him up. Don't you want to go and console him? She'd do most men. In your fashion.
You're so clever, Frederick.
As I lie awake nights wondering why I married you, was rather a mistake.
You didn't marry me, dear. I married you. Unpleasant, but no mistake.
Hurry up.
Frederick, for the last time, I'm not going to your party.
For the last time, it's not my party, but yours. And you are going.
I am not.
Ready?
No.
Are you ready, dear?
Yes, damn you.
But you adore me as much as I recall. Now, all you want to be is a lovely widow. It's almost time to lock up the house. Then your party will really begin. I wonder how it'll end.
Changing money.
Is it real or is it snake oil?
Sniff out the scam and find the real product.
This show's crazy.
All new snake oil. Wednesdays on Fox and watch anytime on Hulu.
Haven't you had enough of the silly games? Get some cars up here for these people and let them go home. But pay them first.
This is your party. Remember. In spite of my wife's faith in my ability to do the impossible, we will all have to stay in this house until 8 o'clock in the morning. But we have some party favors for you in these little coffins. This is my wife's idea. I must say, I think it's rather dangerous. I suppose you all know how to use one of these things, but in case you don't, you just press down on this lever with your thumb and then pull the trigger. You see, they're loaded.
These are no good against the dead, only the living.
Doctor? Nora? Go ahead, take it. It's pretty good. And here's yours, dear.
I don't need it.
It was your idea. Who knows, you may want to use it on me before this bad joke.
Throw these guns away. They won't do you any good.
I agree with Bridget on that point, although not for the same reason.
Dr. Trey, don't you approve of our little party there?
Suppose Nora had had a gun when she mistook the blind woman for a ghost.
I don't think anyone else is going to walk around in total darkness. Oh, I'm sure we're not going to go running around the house shooting each other, aren't you?
Who knows? Fear makes people do amazing things.
Mr. Richard, you said your sister-in-law killed a man and a woman here and cut them up? You said they found hands and feet, but they never found any heads. Would you like to see one of those heads? Would you all like to see one of those heads? Well, just follow me.
Darling, I really don't need this.
Thank you. Nora. Nora? Nora? What do you know about this?
They've taken her. In a little while, she'll be one of them.
Where's Nora? Where is she?
It's too late. It's too late. You'll never find her again.
Pritchard, if you know where she is, you better tell me now.
Gone. She's gone with him. There's nothing you can do about it.
I'm sure you've come to the same conclusion I have.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's all have a meeting and discuss what to do. The living room?
Okay, in a minute. I've got to go downstairs. you lock yourself in here and don't let anybody know you're here. If he thinks you're dead, he won't come here. And I'll get back as soon as I can. You'll be all right. And if you have to, you use it.
Since I don't think this concerns her.
No, you're right.
Mr. Lauren, isn't there some way we can get out of this house now?
No, none at all.
We could try breaking out.
The only door to the outside is made of steel. The bars of the windows are set in solid stone. We gotta stay.
I'm not afraid of your ghosts, Bridget. But I am afraid. When we came here a few hours ago, the only thing we had in common was the $10,000 we'd get. Now, however, we share something else. The death of Mrs. Long. So far tonight, one of us was almost killed by a falling chandelier. One of us was mysteriously slugged. One of us has been driven to the brink of absolute hysteria. And one of us is dead. Were these accidents? Suicide? And we must stay here for 6 more hours.
6 hours? 6 of us.
Time enough. Who'll be next? How will it happen?
Let me ask you a question, Doctor. You were the first one to see my wife there. Did you also see anything that she could have climbed up on and then jumped?
No.
Did any of them? There was none. How then did she get up there so high?
Exactly, Mr. Lauren. How? She couldn't have pulled herself up there. She couldn't have dropped from the ceiling. Do you think your wife killed herself?
No. She was murdered by one of you.
Or you, Mr. Lauren. To deliberately kill someone, you must have a reason.
We were all strangers to your wife. Only you had a motive for murder. Her husband hasn't at some time wanted to kill his wife. Her husband hasn't had 1,000 opportunities to do it in such a way so that he'd never be suspected. I'm not such a fool as to hang my wife from a ceiling by a rope.
The fact remains that you, or one of us, murdered Mrs. Lauren. And that's a matter for the police.
So how do we get the police?
That's my point. We can't until morning. What began as a silly party given by an eccentric has now involved us all in murder.
For once, Pritchard may be right. If another murder's in the works, let's stop it now.
Another murder?
Why not? Maybe one of us saw too much.
Why should even a millionaire want to give each of us $10,000 to spend one night in a gloomy old house? To see some ghosts, have a party?
No. Have you finished trying me, Doctor? And is the verdict guilty of murder? Oh, this isn't getting us anywhere. Somebody killed Mrs. Lauren. We know that. One of us is guilty and the rest of us are innocent. Okay. Now, what we have to do for the next 6 hours is protect ourselves from each other.
Do you really think?
I don't think anything. I just know that I'm going to my room. And if anybody comes in, I'll shoot him. Or her.
And if we all stay in our rooms, we'll be safe. Because the innocent will have no reason to leave this room. And the guilty will admit his guilt if he or she does.
And we all have guns.
And we're all agreed.
Oh, I wish this night were over.
Guns? Guns? I tell you, it doesn't make any difference. They aren't through with us yet.
This is going to be hell on earth. The world's toughest test.
That's a long way down.
This is bad.
Not a game show.
Special Forces, World's Toughest Test. Only Mondays at 9 on Fox and watch anytime on Hulu.
What's the use of saying goodnight?
Thank you.
Okay. They've all gone to their rooms and locked themselves in.
That's my conviction. It was so dark down there. Maybe it wasn't Mr. Lord.
It was him, all right. He tried to kill you, and he did kill his wife.
How can you be so sure?
She tried to warn me, asked me to help her. The doc thinks he's going to try and kill one of us. Now, there must be a way out of this place, and I'm going to find it and get the police before he does.
I'm going with you.
If he finds out you're alive. No, Nora, you're safer here than any place else. Now, just lock yourself in and keep quiet. If I find a way out, I'll come back and catch you.
Thank you.
an admission of guilt, Doctor?
Certainly not. There's either somebody else in this house or one of us has left his room. Did you hear anything?
Organ music? That.
And someone walking.
You got your... Ready?
You look downstairs, and I'll look up here.
Why not together?
There may be only minutes, seconds left of someone's life. Why waste time? Not yet, but she will.
Get me out of this hanging harness. I'm taking that girl so long. What time is it?
At first, I couldn't get Nora to want to protect herself with a gun. After you appeared at the window, everything began to work just as we had planned. You were wonderful. Just the touch that finally drove her into complete hysteria.
It'll be worth all of our planning, darling. Where's Nora now? What's happening?
On her way to the cellar. So scared she'll shoot the first thing that moves.
And Frederick?
On his way to the cellar, too.
David, are you sure none of them will suspect us?
Of what? An hysterical girl accidentally shoots somebody? Who would suspect that we planned it that way, that we drove her to it?
What about my suicide?
But just a ghost party gag. We'll claim it was a dummy since I'm the only one who touched you.
And the caretakers?
Well, they had no idea what they were really doing.
What about Nora? She's not stupid, you know.
Darling, believe me, everything we planned is working perfectly. Nora is sure Frederick murdered you. She thinks Frederick attacked her in the cellar, not me. And now Nora's almost out of her mind with fear. The head of the music you're hanging, I tell you, when Frederick walks in there, she'll shoot him.
It's taking too long. David, you ought to be there.
When you hear the shot, come down to the cellar.
Thank you.
Finally mastering Grandma's 12-hour song. There's still talk we've gotten 11 hours. Luckily, American Home Shows is there to fix or replace covered appliances and home systems. Protect what you don't expect. Visit ahs.com and get a free quote today.
Right.
I've shot Mr. Law and he's down in the wine cellar.
Alive?
I don't think so. It's him. He's alive.
You didn't shoot anyone, my dear. I loaded your gun with blanks. I can tell you all now. Trent and my wife were planning to kill me. They failed. Trent tried to throw me in the vats. My wife stumbled and fell. I'm ready for justice to decide if I'm innocent or guilty. Now there are nine. There'll be more, many. They're coming for me now. And then they will come for you.
Yes, they're coming for me now, and then they'll come for you. Well, so much for having your boo get mad at you. Good evening, as we are coming out of our horror movie special, as we celebrate Halloween. I have with me Professor Fred, Gary Knowles Gray, and Tony McClain, my brothers, and... What can I tell you guys? I don't know about you guys, but October is my favorite month when it comes to stuff like this. And I love the old movies from back in the day. This is some old school ghost action. And good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was waiting for
what's up, man?
Good evening. But seriously, how do you not love Vincent Price? Vincent Price seems to put all his effort in everything he does. Doesn't matter how small the role is, how campy the role is. You know, when he was a villain in Batman as Egghead, he made you believe Egghead was real. And, of course, he did old school horror, like House of Wax, which was a remake of Terror in the Wax Museum. And, of course, the Thriller video where he became famous to a whole new generation of folks. How do you guys like horror? Or how do you weigh horror? And, unfortunately for Vincent, this movie was remade in 1999, and they did a shitty job with it. But they did recognize one thing. The black person who was in the remake knew to get the fuck out the house, which is the one rule that they never tell black people in movies. If there's a ghost in the house, get out. We didn't need to have a movie to tell them.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, one, my favorite Vincent Price movie was The Pendulum.
Yes, exactly. Stuff like that. He could play it serious or he could ham it up. I remember he hammed it up as Dr. Fibes and in House of Wax. He was awesome. But it takes a lot for somebody to get steady work like that. He must be good. William Castle, who was the director of House of Haunted Hill, had directed him earlier in 1958's The Tingler. The Tingler is favorite and famous for the fact that Vincent Price is the first actor to take LSD on screen. He plays a doctor who is theoretically going after what is the essence of fear, and it crystallizes itself in this beast called the Tingler. In order to experiment and enhance as such, he takes lysergic acid diethylamide, which is called LSD, and he complains about the walls coming in. That is in 1958. So it tells you two things. LSD's been around a long fucking time. And two, it's like somebody had been taking that shit to decide to write that bad boy up into the script. Professor would pay you.
I was 5 years old and I watched that stuff and I still don't. I like to go to bed and go to sleep at night. I don't want to hear no creaking noises. I don't even want to hear my neighbor's dog. <He's here yard. laughs> When I go to sleep, I go to sleep. And I never really got into horror movies. A few of them were pretty good. To be honest, there were times Batman was too scary for me, so I never really got into that kind of stuff.
Was this the Michael Keaton one, Fred? Was this the Michael Keaton one?
I have no idea. It's just, Batman, the TV show, that I think it ran for a half hour, I thought it was just too stupid. Batman. Stuff like that I never could really wrap my mind around. And even, let's see, 1 year my niece and I, my nephew and his wife took my niece, who's my goddaughter, we went to the movies and they swore in front of everybody in the family, we ain't taking them two niggas to no kind of movie no more, because they make too much noise talking about criticizing the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat there and like, oh, that's stupid. And some things that we were laughing at, you could hear the people in the audience, gasping and whatnot. And we were sitting there like, oh, these people are crazy. But she's a psychiatrist, so, she was in practice at the time. But, I never liked watching things out on the edge like that. Some of them I've watched all the way through. You do that with your lady friend, and she crawls all over you because she's scared. Okay, so what? Make the most of it.
Mm-hmm. I want to take your attention and move it toward something I've seen on social media recently that disturbs me a little bit. Now, we know the NFL is making money hand or fist, or as my brother Fred would say, goo gobs of money. But there's another stream that's coming in that we didn't think about. They call it the NFL's most wanted. Former football players who were convicted of crimes or who did dirt, and, of course, it never came back to get to them. I saw a couple of these, especially this one where this one guy was part of this cult in Miami and lost his bunny rabbit blinking mind just going around killing people and shit. I saw another guy who played for the Atlanta Falcons who was a CTE victim, but, he was really radically gone. He was knucking futs. He embossed it big time. And, the effects of the injuries were played up, not so much as poor guy, look what he did, it's a hazard of his job, to like, the guy's fucking crazy. And I'm fearful that it will take the conversation in a whole different direction. They didn't want to believe the brother who discovered CTE, and now they really want to piss on him because it exists, and they're just going to turn their head, nothing to see here. What do you think of it, gentlemen?
Well, it's interesting, CTPD, in a sense, we've had to deal with that, in slavery days and dealing with the remnants of the civil rights movement as well.
Right.
Because we're always having to, defend our blackness, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, to me, there is definitely something to that.
Well, my something you got to look at, the NFL specifically has never stood up and admitted any. They don't even admit you get knee injuries.
Exactly.
From turf, from that used to be turf, that concrete stuff they used to play on.
Yep.
You know, I mean, a lot of these guys, their head injuries came from hitting the ground.
Yep.
And what do they say? You have no irrefutable evidence that that's a fact. And see, when it comes to being irrefutable, you can refute anything you want to. Just we see that every we saw that over the last few days in the U.S. House. Irrefutable, non-irrefutable. You can refute anything you want because all you got to do is, no matter how much fact you have on hand, you know, you're gonna throw this guy out for doing it, for doing a good, not only doing his job, he did a good job. And what do?
Mm-hmm.
They turn around and threw his ass out. Same thing with ball players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all my love for the Steelers, I can give you point blank. Several of their guys, because it was short, used a blocking technique which made them hit with their head on every play.
Thank you.
Two of them, Terry Long and the young man that played center, just them two alone. Both of them went out with similar injuries. Mike Webster. The only, and I don't say this facetiously, the only one who suffered a lot of head injuries that was not a lineman was Terry Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong, you know, you listen to him talk sometimes. Something wrong with him because his speech slurs. Clyde Edwards-Kept, Lynn Swann, something wrong with him. His speech slurs. That's why he doesn't talk that much in public.
Mm-hmm.
And several others, they don't talk a lot in public because their speech slurs.
Mm-hmm. I interviewed Lynn Swann in 2006. He was pretending to run for office. Now, you may know that your ex-Steelers teammate, Dwayne Woodruff, was a councilman in Pennsylvania, and apparently he was very good at his job. Swann tried to get him under George Bush's coattails because during the interview, which had to be about 12 minutes, everything he said was George Bush, every third word. I mean, he was a parrot for real. He had no real platform. Everything he said was like read from a script. And it was like, oh, hell no. I was more disappointed in the fact that politically, it's not that he was somebody who was Republican with convictions, who had firm ideas about certain things. He was just going along to get along. And I was very disappointed by that.
Well, look at it this way. Two of his teammates are, shall we say, are highly active in the community. John Stallworth, who played opposite him, and Mel Blunt, same thing.
Yeah.
There's one, their speech is a slur, and the kind of stuff that they participate in are rock solid.
Yeah.
You know, and several of the other guys, because several of the other guys that played during that era who may not have finished the whole four Super Bowls, Shanklin and a couple of others, you know, they're
That's
doing
right.
quite well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now you're right about that.
And, Dirt Winston was through that from that era. I actually talked to him several times a few years ago. He was into coaching, doing a great job, and there doesn't seem to be any lingering effects other than his knees hurt when it was getting ready to rain, that sort of thing. But that's I didn't play in the NFL and I have the same issue, so that's one of the standalone things. But you know, the NFL, the AFL, and all the FLs, at one time or another, have, you know, think about it. You're playing in Canada. Where are you? You know, where can you play in Canada this time of year that ain't frozen?
No shit.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with AstroTurf or whatever the new, this new stuff they got now, which is better. But better is can be semantical because, quite frankly, if it rains and that real cushiony stuff they got, if it rains,
yep.
Guess what? It's real cushiony rock.
That's right. That's right. You literally slide yourself into a broken bone instead of just hitting bonk as soon as you land and stuff.
In the last few years they've done away with knee pads. Not that they really had anything to do with anything, but
right.
Nowadays pants, especially on receivers and defensive backs, their pants stop just above their knees, right above where the pad would be. I mean, it didn't do a whole lot on high impact, but at least it protected your knees from getting scuffed up and stuff. Most speed guys don't wear any of that stuff now, along with punters and kickers.
It's true. It's true. You know, I thought Patrick was coming in. Bump on him when you get a chance, Patrick. But, Gary, I've seen over the course of years, the real horror story is that too many folks end up with injuries that are life-altering. This isn't like, you know, I got hurt and I rehab and I can function again. This is like my life is damaged because of this shit. And the National Football League has not done enough to counterbalance the efforts. They've tried to protect the spin more than they've done taking care of the people who play.
Well, you know,
this is our Pee Wee League. What I mean is this. You have to teach Pee Wee Leagues how to tackle correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do that, these guys are 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Smacking their heads again. You can't do that, Michael.
No, you can't. You can't, but you got to have people that teach them how to do certain things right. Like I was taught about tackling at the belt buckle and things of that nature. There's always a way to do things that isn't as bad because football really is a rough sport. It's a collision sport. Collisions you have to take care of and be cautious of. Patrick Farrar's in the house. And Patrick, how old were you when you first started playing organized football?
13 years old. First of all, how's everybody doing? This first thing.
Good evening, John.
Doing good.
In Burlington, there was a Pee Wee League in Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
And that Pee Wee League had 30 or 40 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you over 90% of those kids have neurological injuries today, and they're in their 60 to 70 years old now.
Well, you know, we were made to believe that the helmets and the equipment led to a sense of invulnerability. You didn't get hurt. And if you got hurt, you were hurt, but so badly. You know?
True.
You'll literally coat, rub some dirt on it, and you'd be all right.
Mike, look at the facade that we saw last year where the young man went into cardiac arrest.
Yep.
If that happened on the typical high school here in North Carolina,
You may
have some semblance of a chance. I've seen a similar situation, whether it was cardiac arrest or other injuries. We had a young man at Winston-Salem State who got his neck broken in practice. And, you know, Cornell Meaner practices at 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a few weeks later, during a ball game, same situation. The opposing team had a young man who took a who who hit someone, snapped his neck. Fortunately, the people who took care of him had also been part of the people that had taken care of our own player because they were playing our team. So they went to critical mode just like they did with the young man from Buffalo. And see, we all know that when those guys, we were not as shocked to see the guys come out on the field or their capabilities are, because we know, one, there's an x-ray machine right around the corner just as you walk through the door. We know there's a cardiologist and other critical mass doctors on staff doing a game, doing the NFL game. Everybody on both squads, when it comes to health, and at most at the college level too, critical situations, if necessary, the guys from the trainers from both teams help out with the situation because they're trained to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go to the average in North Carolina. I know how we are in most of the major cities. We had a statistic. I think we have about 16 high schools within the 24 high schools within the immediate area. The only time it's safe for your child to be on the field is when they're in conference play and playing each other, which means it cuts down the need for certified trainers to go from 24 down. Actually, you can go as low as 12. Problem is, it's only 14.
Right.
So at somebody's game, somebody is basically out there with a charger backer and a spittoon. That's what they got to work with. And it's a shame because we got people. I mean, you know, everybody loved those hits. Everybody jump up and stand and clap for, especially when it's your player doing it. But I will never forget one of the coaches that was coaching at against Maryland at that time. It was called Maryland State, and he was from Elizabeth City. And one of the players from Maryland State hit a guy, beautiful tackle.
Yep.
Problem is, the guy's knee, when he went in for the swooped in to make the tackle, the guy's knee hit him in the neck.
Ooh,
and he
said,
his last words, coach, did I stop him?
Dang.
Snapped his neck like a twig. And back you didn't have, you barely had CPR.
Yep.
Had to wait, and we had an incident here not long ago where they had to wait 20 some minutes for an ambulance to come from another school that fortunately wasn't that far away. But you know, when you want your son play, hell no. You know,
he got that right.
When I was coaching volleyball, we had a young lady fall, and we were playing St. Aug. Had to wait 20 minutes for the ambulance to come for that. And said, well, that's volleyball. She fell and hit her head. The floor is, the floor in a, on a volleyball court is like the asphalt in the sidewalk coming up to the building. It's like a rock.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And don't think the ball moving around isn't hard either.
No shit. This is scary stuff because, you know, fortunately it didn't happen, but I'll ask all of you before you get out of here. If the guy had died, what do you think the NFL would have done from that moment on?
Nothing.
They already have their PR set up for that.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
You know, think about it. They jumped on the horse with the for the trainers and all the great job they did. They didn't mention the fact that they had just had how many games the day before? You know, they didn't mention the fact that we got X number of games. Oh, you know, we thought it was best to shut everything down because the guys were just all in disarray and all that kind of stuff. You know, I looked at it this way. As far as the NFL was concerned, oh, we already been paid for this game. We can afford to shut it down. and not get anybody else hurt. You know, and see, the other thing they don't talk about is referees get hurt too. One got hurt over the weekend during a game. But he doesn't really count because he's just a referee. And remember, a lot of these referees are 40 plus.
Yeah, you got the right idea, Fred. There's a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money that gets lost in the sauce and all this. At the time, they had the last work stoppage. The referees were making, what, $200,000 a year. And that's not counting playoffs. So everybody's getting paid. So who would be the first to upset the apple cart? Who would want to? Because everyone's getting paid. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone.
That's true. That's true. But real salary is high now. That's for sure.
It's a scary notion for real.
I told you, but I think I told you years ago, I was on the field before a game, and it was right after the strike. And, you know, Mike, you know, I'm taking pictures doing video on the field. And there was fans behind me. This is pregame. Fans behind me. And here comes your friend and mine, Goodell, Roger Goodell. And somebody says, well, they want to pay the referees. You know, we should take care of them. He said they're on part time. So Roger says, well, that's what we can afford. I said, really? He looked at me. I thought people might kick me off the field.
but even that's a misnomer, because think about it. I know we've had a number of CIAA referees that live here, CIAA and MEAC referees that live here. Mm-hmm. These guys work out. Now,
oh yeah, they do. They no
joke. We just lost a couple, 1, 2, 3 in the last year. Let's see. Coach Carver was in his 70s. He refereed up until he was 60 something years old. Charlie Bartlett, he was the supervisor of football referees until he couldn't do it anymore. He was close. Mm-hmm. He was close to 65. He was actually the white hat. As late as mid 205, 208 era, and coach Freeman took his place, and he was a white hat until around 2012 before he finally gave it up. But you know, These cats were either prior military or prior athletes or whatever. They worked out. The only one who didn't look like was Coach Carver. Coach Carver was a white hat too. He was a line judge. And right. Fred, who was my age, Fred Clark, he did it until his last game was when we were 62 or 63 years old. And I was watching the game the other day. From somebody out west, and it was amazing. I've seen this a few times before. How this real old looking white dude is a side judge, and the play goes long, and he beat the guys into the end zone. You know, that's how good a shape he was in. But still, when things go wrong, i.e. the play comes their way, and they get caught up in the wash. They ain't got nothing to protect them. The whistle don't do it, the stripes don't do it, and the hat don't do it. They get hurt.
That's right. And when you get hurt, that's about it. Your collateral damage when it comes to the field. You know, you can't move but so fast when the action is for real, because there ain't no stopwatch made that can stop a human being going full speed to hit something once the whistle starts. They can blow it to stop it, but even when they do that, the damage has long been done in some cases. And There's no real way to fix it. There's no real way to prevent it. Just keep collecting the money and shut up. Weird final thoughts for now, gentlemen, because of our movie spectacular. So we want to get the final thoughts in a less spookier vein. So, Patrick, lead it off, please.
Well, you know, at the end of every year, the idea of people in football season, they make various monies at the end of the year. And the spike in these recognition and attention to these celebrities comes to NFL, with the advent of social media, has exacerbated it even more. And this Taylor Swift thing, it was off the freaking hook in Jersey last week. Even though you know Kansas City won, but man, there were tickets going on being sold in the section that she was in, or front of the box that Aaron Rodgers was in, and that behind the team, they were going for $2,000 apiece. There were seats going for $2,000 because two people want to look at Taylor Swift. I'm going, why? But anyway, it made the ratings go up. The money pours in. It just shows you, you know, how fickle people are in regards to what's important to the NFL. And it sold. And I told you last week about Travis Kelce's jersey, didn't I? That tell you less what happened in the jersey?
Yep.
Mike? Yeah.
Yep.
Up 400%?
That's exactly right.
So it's just, it shows you what's going on in some aspects of the league.
Shit. I don't have nothing on me. That's 2,000. If I had it, I'd take it off and I'd cut it off and barbecue it. It was $2,000. But I digress. Professor, lay it on us.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but since he mentioned this fiasco on the sideline, I don't know about how y'all feel about this, but college football, and I've watched more games, cause since I'm not traveling this year, I watch more games than normal. I am you all know that I'm well sick of Mr. Deion Sanders and that whole scenario, but it ain't just him. Now, I personally could care less if Snoop Dogg's on the sideline or whoever else is on the sideline. That to me, you can't even follow the game, and because every time there's a play, here comes this Hall of Famer, here comes this star. I'm watching players. You know, did any of you notice that the Buffaloes finally figured out they got more than they had more than one wide receiver?
Thank you.
Yeah, probably.
Did anybody
probably.
Know they had a pretty decent
they
running
got
back?
Two.
Yeah. They had two who played Saturday who hadn't played, who had barely played, probably unless they were on special teams.
Yeah, exactly. Number 14 was one.
All I know is 6'3", about 170, who caught almost everything that went his way. And as you know, this is getting like parents at Little League and JV games. They can't let these players be the stars. They got to bring in other stars. And I see, you know, to me that would be taken away from the game. And it's sad because when's the last time Snoop Dogg played football, or did he ever?
He played football in high school.
And they had two or three other people there who are, quote, major stars which to me takes away from the players. I've been to games with numerous HBCU grads and what other people in general. You know, mm-hmm. I was at a game when Stuart Scott was coming into the press box. It was A&T and Florida A&M. You know, he made his star's entrance and almost got an exit through the window because he made some kind of comment about preferring to be in Chapel Hill watching whoever Carolina was playing that weekend. And
yep.
Several people invited him, you know, you can leave now.
Yeah.
And he was on the end where the door is usually locked. But mm-hmm. they're going to help him out that door. You know, or he could go out. But, you know, my point is simply this. Let the players do what they do, get their shine. And, you know, the people that they're glorifying so much in most cases have nothing to do with football. Yeah. They don't have nothing to do with college. They just the coach's buddies. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world we live in.
Yep, but that's exactly true shit because it was reflective of when the streak started. By the third game, everybody and their mama was all over it. 60 Minutes did a piece on it. I mean, they wanted to get every bit of fame they could get out of it. And even though Colorado is 3-3, they still believe that they'll be the hottest team if somehow they make the bowl eligibility. Gary.
And the Wall Street, Wall Street Journal, the estimated amount of money that's come in to the Buffalo, Colorado Buffaloes is now $290 million.
Oh, my God. $290. Yes. I knew it was going to be a nice chunk of change,
that includes the area of Boulder, hotels, facilities, services, all that $290 million.
Unbelievable.
If you set up on giving the 90 and leave the 200 off, that's still more than they will make it.
And there's more to come because the commissioner of the league, who I know very well, I work with, I know what he's going to tap into. Let's put it this way. I know Brett Myomark is going to do more in expanding the league. He already has. When they thought the league was going to die, he saved it. But he has some more stuff piled up for because the money is resonating all through the Big 12. That Deion mm-hmm. that effect is going all the way through. So, I mean, Houston, the Cougars sold out their first game last week. They haven't come yeah. in over a year and a half.
Uh huh.
I mean, so anyway, it's having an effect.
By the time the year sinks in and the transfer portal is put in effect, team will get better by attrition alone. Because guys would want to go to Colorado. I mean, to be falling over backwards to join that squad.
I want to add one more thing, Mike.
Yep.
As of Monday, as of Tuesday, the NC2A has now worked on a deal to formalize and have record, and have boundaries on the NIL deals. I'll get more to you next week.
Uh-huh.
That's because that's what, because of low life politicians who are golfing buddies of the NC2A executives made the deal for them. They got the lobbyists to make that happen.
There they go. That's right. Well, you said it. If it's not the country clubs, it's the golf courses or some mm-hmm. semblance therein. That's how business gets done. Gary.
Well, Major League Baseball is getting ready to start the playoffs this week as mm-hmm. Wild Card Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They added a team to the Wild Card. So don't think it's working because they're 0-7. They're going to be 0-8 after the Phillies and 0-9 after the Arizona D-backs Thursday night. I don't know what they can do to fix this, but the wild card addition, it ain't working. So, I don't know what they can do to correct this, but I think a best of three, and a best of three number, is to be a best of five. I'm not going to do that or not, but the current system, it was broken. There we go. This Saturday, we were talking NCAA Horizon on Saturday, 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern Time. There we go.
Yes, indeedy. You know, Gary, I have to say, no matter what the NCAA tries to say, the lie will still come out. You know, these kids are getting something now. Even a little bit they get is resented. I think they resent the NIL money even more than the pros get the NFL money. And, you know, you're supposed to get it if you make it that far. Trust and believe that no matter what they do, this whole format will be revamped and looked at in a whole different vein by the time the season's over, especially if Colorado becomes bowl eligible.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a nightmare on Park Avenue, not Elm Street, when the truth about all this comes out. We'll see you later.
In the cool of the evening when everything is getting kind of groovy, I call you up and ask you if you'd like to go with me and see a movie. First you say no, you've got some plans for the night, and then you stop and say, like you.
summer for the remainder of the month. We'll be adding movies and shows and music because it's like that. It's our favorite month, so the Mad Scientist Lab will be at 100% capacity. So now, good evening.